7, please.
Item number 7 is from the Office of the Sheriff, requesting to execute a contract for dialysis and dental services at the county correctional facility.
Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Inspector.
At the last budget hearings and so forth from the Finance Committee, and then it was finally approved by the County Board, is to attempt to move inmate medical and mental health services away from the orchestration, I guess, or the overall leadership of the Sheriff's Office, and potentially move that into potentially Behavioral Health Division, Health and Human Services, or potentially some other solution. That has put us in a situation where we do have a couple of smaller contracts, but it's specific to inmate medical services. We do have dialysis that is literally performed at the County Correctional Facility Central downtown. We have our own dialysis setup, which was brought in several years ago, as well as dental services, which prevents the movement of inmates. The issue that arises now is by July of next year, we're going to attempt to determine and then present to the County Board a solution or recommendations on how that's to transpire. And until that point, we have these contracts that we really don't want to give them a full year contract, so we prefer to go month to month. That way, whether it's another county entity or otherwise takes over and determines that they, quite frankly, don't want to use these services, that then we'll have a 30-day out clause and they can deem to do whatever is necessary. So for this particular one, and Mr. Preedy can go into the details if needed, we would like to give month-to-month extensions to the dialysis group and the dental services group until we come up with a solution for the entire inmate medical and mental health group.
Thank you, Inspector. Any questions, concerns, comments by committee members, Supervisor Drews?
I'm looking at the amount. Am I to understand that these are the monthly amounts? This is the, for example, the dental $330,000. What does that number represent?
Mr. Preedy?
Those are both annual costs.
Thank you.
And the providers of the service are able to provide month to month. Are we changing contracts? What, a little more detail on that.
These are extensions with the existing vendors. They're not particularly pleased that it's only month to month instead of another annual contract, but they understand the situation. So they're in agreement with, reluctantly, that this is the way the situation is this year.
So we're basically asking vendors who are currently under contract with us to do extensions on a month to month basis, as opposed to previous practice where we probably entered into a yearly contract. Am I correct on that?
Correct.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor. We don't have a Supervisor Weishaupt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At this time, I'll move approval of item number 7.
Any further comments, questions, concerns? Madam Clerk, please call. Ms. Nguyen, who is the Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Supervisors Jerseth?
Aye.
Warsha?
Aye.
Cesars?
Aye.
Broderick?
Aye.
Rice?
Aye.
Biddle?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye.
7-0 is the vote, and I need the approval.
Thank you very much. Before we go to the child support enforcement items, let's return to item number 1.
Item number 1 is a resolution authorizing the Chief Judge of Milwaukee County to collaborate with the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee to develop Shakespeare in the courts as a pilot alternative to incarceration option for sentencing of juvenile offenders.
Thank you very much. Would those who are coming forward please come forward?
Judge White.
Judge White. Judge Murray.
We have a cast.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, if I could.
Supervisor Proctor.
The item before us creates a new juvenile sentencing alternative based on a very successful model which has existed for the past 10 years in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. I have provided background information on that to committee members earlier, and I would add that Supervisors Weishaw, Biddle, Haas have asked, in fact, to co-sponsor this resolution. After consulting with the chief judge, it was determined that unexpended funds from the Universal Screening Initiative that would otherwise drop to the county's bottom line could be used to fund this pilot project, and given the extraordinary costs involved in juvenile incarceration, I think, to say the least, this is a very good investment. I would move approval, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Murray and Supervisor White.
Is that a promotion?
No, no, definitely not.
More importantly, it's a demotion.
It might be a demotion. Judge Murray.
Well, I'm here to answer any questions that you might have. I think the resolution speaks for itself. Clearly, in the juvenile justice system, any program that would help to us to work with the children that come before us would be appreciated. It wouldn't be our program. It would be a program that hopefully the juveniles that come in front of the judges could, as a condition of their probation, require that they participate in the program. And the program was introduced to me, and I know the area where the program is being used right now in Pittsfield, because I used to live there and work there, okay. Massachusetts, so I'm familiar with that area and the community there.
Thank you, Judge Murray. Judge White, would you like
to? I'm here as the acting chief to answer any questions, and okay. Just to say that the money could be set aside, and it would be up to the board to decide whether to award the use of it in a particularized way, whether it's sole source or RFPs or anything else, but just to hold it aside, essentially, until those matters are further determined.
And I would ask, I would say that if the three guests would not testify, at least could they be identified?
My name is Nick Bernstein.
I'm Rebecca Holderness.
And I expect Ms. Holderness will give us further description of the program.
And I'm Bill Watson.
Thank you very much. Any questions?
If we could hear from Associate Professor Rebecca Holderness from UWM's Theater Department, I think that would be edifying.
Thank you very much, and good morning.
Good morning.
So we came into contact with this program through a series of collaborations and research with Shakespeare and Company in Lenox, Massachusetts, which has a 23-year-old education program that throughout the state of Massachusetts. The Pittsfield Court actually came to Shakespeare and Company and asked them to develop this program for them. They felt that this 13 to 17-year-old pocket of juveniles was not being served in a really effective way. And so Shakespeare and Company developed a very specific program which runs over a 5 or 6 week period where a group of 13 to 15 individuals at a time work with a teacher or teacher leader student ratio or kid ratio of about 3 to 1. So there are a lot of people in the room with these students, and over the 5 or 6 week period they actually produce what, depending on how many kids there are in a program, some version of a Shakespeare play. Either 90 minutes, an hour, 45 minutes, it depends on how many students are actually in the program. And the program allows this group of students to practice accountability, group activity, to discuss effectively in an inactive and sort of creative way questions of moral authority, power, social issues, through the discussions of different kinds of plays. The play is picked for the group of students specific to, or to the group of individuals in the program, specific to what we think might be issues that they are excited by or interested in. There's usually a central parole officer that works with the group of especially trained theater professionals, right? There is a training program for them. There's a very strong set of structures and rules, and there's a single parole officer who sort of coordinates all of the parole officers that the kids are involved with. So the kids that are in the program work for about 2 hours over a five days, usually after school, but if we did it during the summer, we would hopefully they would be in summer school or they would be in some other structure, and then they would come to us. And, you know, it's proven very effective. It raises literacy. It provides a more positive environment, encourages self-esteem. So that's the kind of program that it is. And extremely strictly organized. It's all about accountability and control and language and fun. It's fun. They don't think it's fun for a while, but it is eventually. And it does end in an actual production somewhere, which is costumes and all the rest of it. And families are invited to come see that. Sometimes the families come, sometimes they don't. So that's the structure of the program.
Professor, you mentioned a 3-to-1 ratio. Was that three adults to one?
No, student? That's three students to every adult in the room. Sometimes that seems to be the most effective ratio in terms of really engaging these students and really shifting them in a 5-week period. Yes, sir?
Supervisor Bitter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to thank my colleague for bringing this initiative and showing leadership in this regard. In a prior lifetime, I did work for the First Time Juvenile Offenders Program, and I worked with kids at Wells Correctional Facility, and I understand the need for alternatives to incarceration. I think fiscally we know as a strain on our system and our resources. And as a society, we understand that the system isn't properly rehabilitating young people, and they're having challenges in employment and education as they go further in their lives. So I think it's a worthwhile investment to see if this program could really bring a return of investment, not only as a county as far as resources, but as a society as a whole. And I'd also like to offer an amendment to the resolution. Beginning on line 45, adding a resolve clause. Be it further resolved that any contract proposal arising from this initiative shall be led in accordance with the provisions of Milwaukee County ordinances and shall be submitted for review and approval by the appropriate county board committees and the county board.
Would you repeat that?
Yes, sir.
Right.
Be it further resolved that any contract proposal arising from this initiative shall be led in accordance with the provisions of Milwaukee County ordinances and shall be submitted for review and approval by the appropriate county board committees and the county board.
So if you would provide that to
yes, sir.
Ms. Brown, that would be appreciated. Supervisor Biddle has moved that this amendment be approved. Any questions on the amendment? Supervisor Biddle?
I'm wondering specifically, how is the $65,000 that's expected to be used in this? Is it to pay for staff time? Could you be more specific on that?
There's an initial payment of training. We would interview, select an appropriate group of faculty or other professionals in the community and train them. That's a week-long training and effective communication of organizational, then some of the other costs, I mean, I have the budget in front of me, some of the other costs have to do with putting together an operational staff who would interface with the court system and organize how the kids came into the program, locate a space to do the program, and then some of that money is for food to feed the students, for costumes to costume them, and also eventually to pay, I should have said probably before, to pay the 4 or 5 professionals who are in the room with the students. So it's a combination of operational costs and fees.
How many students do you expect to be able to serve with that contract amount?
Well, some of it is a one-time, just to be clear, some of it would be a one-time cost. About 6,000 of that would be a one-time cost only to organize it. And then after that, we would hope to serve 15 students. I'm going to call them students. That's what I think of them as. So if that's not appropriate, let me know.
Mr. Chairman, my next question is for Judge White. The proposal here is to be taking this money from the Universal Screening Program, which we've just recently gone around about quite a bit. And I'm wondering if the Chief Judge or if you, on behalf of the Chief Judge, are approving that proposal and are in agreement with it?
We are approving the fact that we don't need the $65,000 for Universal Screening. It's okay to hold it back for this alternative, or one that the board decides it fits within those guidelines that Supervisor Biddle mentioned. We have worked very hard and are very confident that the universal screening budget is sufficient without the, those funds would be turned back. I'm going to turn down money, man. They would be turned back, and they probably would go back to the bottom line. Is that correct?
Mr.
Chairman, the committee will remember there was a delayed implementation of universal screening for this year. The $65,000 would not have been expended because of that delayed implementation. Therefore, it will or would fall to the bottom line, and the Chief Judge has approved going with what the committee has suggested and may approve that the $65,000 be encumbered.
I guess the other question I have, Mr. Chairman, is that given that factor, is this a program that the judges think it would be the best use of that $65,000? Is this the group you want to target? Do you have other needs that are even more pressing than this that $65,000 might be used for? Those kinds of questions I have.
What we can say now is that the category of the juvenile justice system is where it's best assigned, and the encumbrance then could be further discussed within the confines of this resolution or in some other way, but the juvenile justice system is what we're proposing the encumbrance be allocated toward for alternatives of this type.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. In my day, Shakespeare was often used as a punishment for recalcitrant students to memorize.
Well, it still might be. There's the carrot and the stick here as well.
And it sounds like the students initially, at least into the program, see it that way. But I suppose all's well that ends well.
On that note, let's return to the amendment. I gave Supervisor Jersey leeway because she had.
Oh, it's unfair.
So that she had a number of comments and questions to offer. On the amendment, would you repeat the amendment, Ms. Jersey?
The amendment by Supervisor Biddle is as follows. Add a resolve clause beginning on line 45. Be further resolved that any contract proposal arising from this initiative shall be let in accordance with the provisions of Milwaukee County ordinances and shall be submitted for review and approval by the appropriate county board committees and the county board.
Thank you. Any questions, concerns about the amendment? If not, Madam Clerk, on the amendment.
On the amendment, Supervisors Jersey.
Aye.
Wyshon.
Aye.
Cesars.
Aye.
Broderick.
Aye.
Rice.
Aye.
Biddle.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman.
Aye.
7-0 no's on the amendment.
On the resolution as approved, as modified by the amendment, as amended.
Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Rice.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad Supervisor Jersey didn't invite our guest here with use the other quote about killing all the lawyers today. appreciate the attendance and the information, and I understand that there may be a value and a need in some cases for unorthodox sentencing, particularly in the juvenile justice context, and even in the adult population. I know in the past there have been instances where judges have imposed, for example, drunken drivers who've taken a life to go visit cemeteries of the victims or to hang a picture of someone whose life they've taken in their jail cell. And I think that, you know, alternatives like that, that in particular when we're dealing with juveniles, that make a lasting impression upon individuals, and those of you who are in this dealing with this population know better than I that there are cases where individuals, youthful offenders, who may need or deserve a second chance, some of these alternatives do make sense. I think there's a danger, however, when we treat these offenses, some of these very serious offenses that we're talking about in the resolution that deals with assault, battery, breaking and entering, some of these chronic offenses. When we treat them lightly, I think, or when we fail to realize that there is a real threat to the public, I think that there is a danger where these sentences are not in keeping or credible with the public's, I think, justifiable requirements for reasonable punishment and reasonable justice. I think that creative sentencing does make sense, again, when it causes the offender to really seriously think about the impact of their offense upon the victim and upon the community, where it's meaningful. And it's not necessarily fun, but it is something that has an impact on not just the defendant, but the victim and the community. And so, you know, there's a thin line, I think, between creative sentencing and just plain goofiness. And I'm not saying this is goofy, but I think it has to be credible. And, you know, for example, there have been cases where a judge sentenced a 19-year-old man to who had skinned his mother's pit bull to read Lassie books as a sentence, you know, as a condition of probation. I would suggest that if I were a victim of assault with a deadly weapon and I heard that my offender was sentenced to play acting, I think I would ask serious questions about whether effective justice has been brought about here. And so I do need some more information from those present. And Judge, you indicated you're familiar with the program. It's been called a successful model. It's been saying that it's been proved very effective. So what can be pointed out to in terms of the achievements of this program? What are we going to get for our $65,000 in terms of program effectiveness? What impact does it have on juvenile recidivism in the 10 years that this program has been in effect in Pittsfield or whatever the city is in western Massachusetts? What impact has it had on repeat offenses by this juvenile population that's gone through this program?
Judge Murray.
Yes. Supervisor Rice, I'm going to try to address in a brief way, and I don't mean to be brief, but this for time, your comments and your question. Unfortunately, I don't have the statistics in front of me of the results of the programming in the Pittsfield District Attorney's Office. I actually work in that office as a district attorney, actually was a prosecutor for juvenile offenses in that office. So I'm familiar with that office and that community. What I can tell you, and what I started off with today, is that in the juvenile justice system, we look for not only alternatives, but we look for ways of cognitively getting students to a place that they recognize the wrongfulness of their behavior. Now, we're talking about young people who most likely will be on probation anyway, so it would be a condition of probation. It wouldn't be someone that you're looking at an alternative to DOC. I see it as an alternative programming that we may use while they are on probation to hopefully engage them in a way so that they understand how their behavior affects the community that they live in. So it will be a selective process. It's not an absolute process. It will be a process that will be referred by probation. The judges would know about it and would try to determine if this individual that is in front of them is appropriate given the offense that they have committed. So it's not an absolute. It may result it may result, or it could result, in an alternative to someone going to DOC. But typically, if you look at the sentencing of juveniles in the Juvenile Justice Center, and we can come back and present numbers to you about what we do here in Milwaukee County, but typically, if they've reached that level of DOC, typically we've seen them at least two, maybe three times before, and now the judge is saying, we have exhausted all the alternatives available to reach you. DOC is the only place that we can give you. So I don't know that I exactly answered your question, but I wanted to at least address some of your concerns. And maybe, I don't know if anyone else here has any information as to how, what the results are.
Judge White?
Mr. Chair. Mr. Rice, we are familiar with the challenge that you described on a daily, probably hourly basis. And we have been engaging as a district in evidence-based training. We had a major conference at Marquette University Law School where the DAs, the probation, the lawyers, public defender, both public and private, and the judges all engaged in training about how to make better decisions based on the evidence before us, not just for outcomes for convictions or sentencing, but also even at the bail, at the front end of cases. So we're mindful of those kinds of issues that you've raised, and hopefully that intensive training that we've been engaging in will help us make better decisions. And the final thing I would like to say is appended to the resolution, I think, is a comment by First Lady Bush and others presenting an award to the Massachusetts program. And I looked at some of the people who were there celebrating the outcome of that program. If you think about it as circumstantial evidence, for example, those are pretty conservative names in the memorandum that describes the award that was presented, and they're pretty tough taskmasters. So I would think that that's at least some hint that the program must have some teeth to it. And certainly going forward, whether it's this program or other alternatives, we'll keep using those lessons that we are putting before ourselves here in this district on evidence-based sentencing and remember those challenges that you've raised in every case that we meet.
Thank you, Judge, for that comment. I guess I'm still looking whether perhaps the author can provide us with some of that evidence or some of those outcomes in this 10 years. What you know, before we march down this road, what outcomes have been achieved? There's some, you know, anecdotal reference, but I mean, do we have some indication that the program works? You know, are there examples of that former gangbanger who, you know, exposed to the joys of iambic pentameter, turned their life around? Are there some examples where we can point to that there's an individual, you know, who has gone through this program and upon reciting these Shakespearean couplets, no longer commit crimes? It must be in 10 years we've got something that we can indicate before we spend $65,000 that the program works. I would, I guess, you know, suggest that, you know, maybe we think about having these young people learn how to read and write modern English before we expose them to old English. That might be a start. But tell us, of the author, perhaps, what information we can glean from the program that's been touted as a successful model, what those parameters of success are in terms of this population.
Is it possible that the reference that Judge White made and other information can be forthcoming to Supervisor Broderick before Board Day next week?
And distributed.
Distributed.
I'd be happy to put that together. I think much of the anecdotal information that's been offered speaks for itself. The First Lady of the Nation doesn't appear to present an award on behalf of a program that hasn't demonstrated that it's effective. But I'd also emphasize that while we put emphasis on $65,000, and that's no small amount of money, the cost of incarceration of a child for a year is over $103,000. So if we salvage one half of one child, we pay for the program in its totality. So I would be more than happy, Mr. Chairman, to assemble and provide all members of the committee with the information requested.
Thank you. Supervisor Rice?
Thank you. I look forward to seeing that information will withhold my support for this until it's clear that this is a program that I think does, you know, have credibility. As I mentioned, there are times when attempts at creative sentencing make you know, sense, and other times when it doesn't pass the common sense test. And I've not heard anything this morning necessarily to indicate that this program has been effective in terms of a showing of some results. There are other alternatives that could be considered, and Judge White has indicated that the juvenile, you know, population is targeted, but I didn't hear a resounding endorsement of this particular program. Again, I go to the question about whether this particular type of program has the impact on the individual that is sufficient to meet the test in terms of it having an impact on the offender, on the victim, and on the community, and suggest that there might be other alternatives that could be considered at perhaps less cost and might have a positive, equally positive impact on the broader community, whether it be ways in which these individuals can be earning money to make their restitution or completing their GED or doing pickup of litter in the streets, for that matter, that might be worthwhile to explore before we send them to acting class. So, Mr. Chairman, I think we need some more information before we jump headlong into this. And with respect to the $65,000, that isn't a small amount, Supervisor Broderick's right. We're on a razor-thin contingency budget in this year's budget, and I think that returning that money to the contingency in this year and in this budget environment would make more sense than exploratory program with questionable results. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Broderick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think to characterize this as sending people to acting class to a great degree misses the point. And here, I was hesitant to do this, but I will speak from my own personal experience. I was in my third semester of the senior year at Rufus King High School when I was demoted back into the 11th grade and fell under the influence of a teacher named Camilla Wolfram, who was determined that I was going to succeed at something. And she made determined efforts to see to it that I did. Among them was forcing me through all means available to her to read Hamlet, to read Macbeth, and then to read Hamlet. She took the time to nurture and to expose me to themes that were so profound that I began to understand my own anger in terms other than I was capable of doing otherwise as an adolescent. That perhaps kept me from going down a path, that experience, that might otherwise have been cost this society a good deal more than it has, and instead turned me toward becoming a contributing member of this society. So, the reason I found this appealing was because of my own depth of personal experience. I know what this kind of program is capable of, and it's why I ventured out into what I anticipated being onto a limb that would involve more sawing behind me. because I understand the impact this can have on an adolescent life. And I know that I'm not alone in that. And much of the background that I did in researching this, not statistically, but a lot of the presentation of positive impact was anecdotal. And I'll attempt to supply statistics as well as those anecdotal members through the community of Pittsfield with the help, I think, Judge Murray, of yourself in providing that to my colleagues. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Weisstein and Supervisor Jersey.
Thank you. I want to thank Supervisor Broderick for bringing this up and the other co-sponsors and the judges here and the different people from the theater groups, because I think it's important that we do develop different alternatives. Yes, you need to have some financial accountability and demand different results, but if we're going to apply that standard, I guess, to this program or any program, I would hope then we would apply those same standards to the current correctional system that we have. I think if you went up to La Pond, the adult correctional facility, and interviewed any inmate there and asked them about their life of crime and how it got started, and what their experience with the juvenile justice system was, and I don't think you're going to get a very positive saying that the system that we currently have is correct. That I think that the current system, you know, demands its failure rate demands that we come up with some other creative alternative. Do I have all the statistics that say this is going to be the magic bullet? Absolutely not. But we would be, just plain out insane to think that the current system is the correct system and is going to deliver a better outcome than this. And that, you know, whatever happened to the American spirit of experimentation and actually coming up with a solution. And, you know, the arts, and I'm not quite sure what's the matter with America lately, that we seem to be on this cultural crusade to destroy culture, that, you know, we don't know what's going to push the right buttons in an individual, whether it's a painting, reading, something like art, the theater, something on the humanities side that changes somebody's life around. But I think if we actually want to see some changes, we have to try to find out where that button is. And I think when you look at the correction costs, there was just an article not that long ago in the Journal Sentinel, the district attorney Chisholm, pointed out that there's something around $300 million worth of correction costs that are related to just two districts in Milwaukee County. So when I look at $65,000 to maybe change the lives of a few young people around, I think it's a wise investment. And I would hope that we would look at it that way. And whatever is the button that we need to push to reconnect these young people with humanity is the right course that we should take.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Jason.
Thank you. I'm going to support this basically for two reasons. First of all, I've just heard the third branch of government, some of my legal colleagues indicate that they are supportive of this. And I know that they are going to put young people in this program that they know are appropriate. They have these young people who appear before them, and they know there's a spark there. And they're going to try to capture that young person with a program like this instead of perhaps having that person lost to the streets. But for someone who had a double major as an undergrad in English and took two semesters of Shakespeare and an entire semester of Elizabethan drama, I know that Shakespeare's more than pentameters and couplets. There's a great universal theme among the Shakespearean plays, where we understand people of power and that great Shakespearean flaw that we go to understand why someone with such talent, such greatness, has failed. I look at the Republican field for president, and I think we can all use themes from Shakespeare to start to understand why we have problems that repeat themselves throughout history and why Shakespeare still very much matters today. And I think those are great things that perhaps our young people could really benefit from. And I trust the judiciary to put the right people in this program. It's got, I think, some promise. So I will support it, and I thank you for bringing it before us.
We have a motion for approval for this item on an amended resolution. There are no other comments, questions, concerns? Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
I just need clarification on the motion. There was a motion by Supervisor Broderick to approve. Are you approving
as amended? As amended. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Supervisors Jersey?
Aye.
Wyshon?
Aye.
Cesar?
No.
Roderick?
Aye.
Rice?
No.
Biddle?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye.
5 ayes, 2 noes. This item is approved.
And Professor Holderness, if you would fill out a card for our records.
We already have it.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
We got it, ma'am. Thank you very much.